the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Sarah Slattery, the travel expert.ie, joins us for the last word on travel. And what you've decided to do today, Sarah, is just give us some locations in popular hotspots, but actually ones that are off the beaten track that people mightn't know too much about. So start in Spain for me. Where's Asturias?
Yes, Matt. Asturias is actually one of the new routes this summer. Aer Lingus are flying from Dublin to Oviedo twice weekly until the end of September. And there is actually not a lot of people know about it. And the value is fantastic, first of all. There's flights, I was checking there, right through the summer for about €130 return. It's right up the north of Spain. So I think when people think of northern Spain, they'll think of the Camino. And it's between Santiago and Bilbao. So it's that area right in the middle. But it's actually 345 kilometres of coastline. You've got over 200 beaches. It's that, you know, perfect for somebody looking for sort of nice walks, authentic experience. But there is three kind of big main cities there. So Oviedo, where you fly into, you could do a city break, or Gijón, which is probably the most popular because that's literally right on the coast where there's a beach. And then Aviles, I think it's called, they're all about 30 minutes drive from each other. So they're all very close. That's one of the best preserved old towns in Asturias. But it's kind of, I suppose, if you think, even looking at images, it's kind of not a million miles away from Ireland. That kind of green, lush landscape, fabulous mountains, hiking trails, all that kind of thing.
How much sun and what sort of temperatures?
Yeah, that's the great part. Like, it's actually averages between 19 and 24 degrees in the summer months. So warm without being too hot for people who are afraid of the really high temperatures. But these Picos de Europa mountains apparently block out a lot of the wind. So apparently it can be just the kind of perfect summer weather.
Okay, into Italy. What have you got for us there?
Yeah, Puglia isn't exactly, I suppose, a hidden gem, I suppose, but it is, surprisingly, a lot of people still don't travel there or don't really know about it. It's down in the boot of Italy. And again, really, really accessible. Ryanair fly into Bari and Brindisi, and Aer Lingus fly into Brindisi. So lots of flights. I suggest it's a big, big area, so much to see. One of my favourite parts of Italy, I've been going to Italy for years and I only came across Puglia a few years ago, and I just think it's one of the most fabulous places to visit. But I suggest there's so much to see and do. I would say fly into one and out of the other. People will probably be familiar with Albero Bello. They may not know the name, but if you Google it, you'll know it's those whitewashed stone round buildings with the conical roofs. They look straight out of a fairy tale. That's one of these villages a must visit. There's also the White City there, Ostuni, where everything is made of white, like the buildings, the streets, the archways. It's this white city on the top of a hill. Like, everything about Puglia is really dramatic. There's so many different towns and villages. Even the beach towns are like, you know, cliff top settings with incredible aquamarine water. Like, there's just, it's just one of those places that each place we went to, I felt was nearly nicer than the next, you know. And it's also next to Matera, which is, again, one of the most amazing cities I've ever been. People may know it from the opening scene of James Bond, No Time to Die. It looks like almost AI. It's hard to believe it's real, but a stunning, one of the not over 9,000 years old, one of these, like the third oldest settled in the world after Aleppo and Jericho. Really, really like gorgeous hotels and restaurants inside caves. And it's absolutely stunning. A must visit.
OK, although it was, wasn't it, up until about 70 years ago, a place of great poverty?
Yeah, do you know what? It really has an incredible story. It's the actual fairy tale rags to riches story. Basically, it was riddled with disease, and the government closed it down, moved all the inhabitants out of it, built a new town for them. And it was basically derelict until 1993, and it was declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And then investors just started literally buying the caves and putting hotels inside the caves, putting restaurants inside them. So it's just really, really cool. And you're sleeping in these hotels and you're inside a whole cave room, and then it became European capital of culture. You know, it has an incredible story behind it, and I encourage anybody to go. One of my favorite places in Europe I've seen.
Okay, what have you got for us in Greece?
Yeah, I picked Hania in Crete because a lot of people, when they think of Crete, they think of the in-betweeners and these lively, crazy resorts, you know, out all night. But actually, most of those are on the east coast of Crete. Over on the northwest coast, you've got an airport, Hania, again, direct flights 3 times a week until the end of October. And you've got these gorgeous kind of Venetian style towns. Hania is quite a big town. Fabulous harbour, lots of gorgeous kind of side streets with shops and bars and restaurants. You can do boat trips to Santorini from there. You've got amazing beaches, the best beaches in Crete. In fact, one of the best beaches in Europe, Elefancy Beach or Pink Beach, is located there. It's one of the top world's top 10 beaches, according to TripAdvisor. All these kind of tiny pink corals in the sand, and it looks like it's pink. But lots of really kind of charming little Greek villages and towns, lovely 5-star hotels, very much more upmarket, and lots to see and do. And of course, we've got great beaches. Also, the longest gorge in Europe is there, the Samaria Gorge. So for anybody who wants to do some hiking or just basically out and exploring Crete, you know, It's one of those places people don't think about, but actually it's a really, really lovely side of the island.
Okay, again, the temperatures would be quite hot there during the summer, wouldn't they?
Yeah, it would, yeah. But the flights go right on until the end of October. And because it's quite far south compared to maybe Corfu or some of the northern Greek islands, it's actually, the weather can be lovely September, October. So that's actually a really, really nice time to visit.
I'm a little bit reluctant to give details of where you're suggesting in Portugal because, Sarah, it's somewhere I go. And it's,
oh, is it?
Yeah, and it's, you don't meet that many Irish people there.
Well, that's interesting. You probably know more about it than me then. Tavira, yeah, it's the, as you know, it's the opposite side when you fly into Faro. It's over on the east coast near the Spanish border. But I think what struck me is that it doesn't look like a resort. It looks more like a town.
It is.
And then you've got this, I suppose, the beach, the 11 kilometre stretch of long sandy beach, this island beach that spreads out from it. But yeah, I think it's just not your typical Portuguese Algarve resort. So that's probably what makes it. So I'm sorry now, I shouldn't be mentioning it at all.
But it's got good value in restaurants and it's also got good golf courses, which I go to as well. So that's Tavira in Portugal, flying in via Faro. Now, another one that you have, which is, I think, not a hidden secret for a lot of people, it's become incredibly popular, possibly as well because one of Cork's most famous people lives there now. Ronan O'Gara, the former Munster in Ireland out half, is in Ildoray. So tell us about this.
Yeah, Ildoray, again, it's probably one of these places that during July, August, it's going to be really busy and prices are going to be very high. But because there's fantastic access, there's 4 times weekly flights from Dublin to La Rochelle and 2x weekly from Cork. So it's really great to visit off season. It's a gorgeous little, I suppose, chic French island. You know, what's really nice about it is you fly into La Rochelle, 20 minutes drive, you cross this bridge onto the island. And once you're on the island, then most people tend to cycle everywhere. It's a really cool kind of cycling culture. Gorgeous little towns, whitewashed villages with colourful shutters. Great for surfing, fabulous restaurants, but very much kind of a chic French style island. Upmarket, you know, mostly couples, families. And again, it just really nice place to visit, particularly off season for a couple, even for a short break. I looked at actually going 1 year. I had to cancel for a solo trip. I think it'd be a really nice little place for some of you. It'd be really safe, small island. You'd be able to kind of get around, explore everything on your bike. And just thought it was a really kind of nice one to mention.
Now, from what I've heard, though, it is a place that gets the rain a bit and it wouldn't be particularly high temperatures either because it's in an Atlantic island.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, looking at the time I was looking at, May, June or September was perfect. July and August, it can get really busy. But I think you could still get lucky, you know, early September with weather there. And it's the type of place that's kind of really nice outdoor. You could go even because it's such a short flight and a short transfer. You could even just go for 3 or 4 nights. You know, you could do a short break from it and just think it's something kind of different for France. A lot of people, when they think of France, particularly couples, you know, they tend to it's very much associated with families going and camping holidays and things like that. So this would be a nice little break for if people who wanted to just explore France, but away from that sort of style. Very short flight and easy access.
Are Ryanair and Aer Lingus keeping the prices down now for these tickets, given that fuel prices are rising for them? And indeed, Aer Lingus seems quite negative about its 2026 prospects.
Yeah, you know, it's really, really hard to say. I mean, I've been looking at flights certainly over the last few weeks, and they don't seem to be going up. But in saying that, people seem there definitely is a bit of a slowdown in booking. You're talking to travel agents, and people are just hesitant about booking. So maybe that's the reason the flights haven't gone up, because the amount of people who would normally be booking holidays now, people are just waiting to see what happens. You know, whether they book, whether they don't book. And as you know yourself, anytime there's uncertainty, people just kind of tend to not spend. So I think that's probably maybe the reason that they're leveling out. But certainly some of the prices I was checking now for these destinations today, like the likes of the new routes, the place that people don't traditionally go to. I mean, that's where the value is, really.
Thank you very much for that, Sarah Slattery from thetravelexpert.ie.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.